Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our committee. We have Senator Coonan today. I think he is in the room. We have Senate File 229 and Senate File 188. Both are Senator Coonan's bills, and we welcome to the committee, Senator. And we would like you to start and call your testifiers in whatever order. You have an order in front of you in the agenda. You are welcome to use the same order. We have Mr. Lund, Mr. Straczynski, Van Patten, etc. So if you could approach the desk and Senator Coonan, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if it's okay with the Chair, I would like to start with Senate File 229.
Yes. Yes, Senator, that's fine.
Okay. And I do have an author's amendment for that bill.
Okay, members. I think that amendment is coming. I believe that's just a technical amendment, correct, Senator?
Right. It makes some, Madam Chair, it makes, and members, it makes some changes to the dates in here so that what we're trying to do is address the issue of what kind of settlement there might be with the vendors. And the contract, if I'm not mistaken, allows for a 120-day notice, and so this amendment will change that to a we'll make sure there's 130 days, so give a little time to make sure that we meet that requirement in the contract. We don't know for sure yet if this will completely address the issue, but we're hoping it'll help with that issue.
Members, you have the amendment. Is the A2 amendment in front of you? If someone could move that on his behalf.
So moved.
Senator Hall moves the A2 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Thank you. Senator Coonan, please proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And this amendment, or excuse me, this bill has two main parts to it. A part of it is the gambling prohibition, which concerns the state lottery. And then the other part of the bill addresses the charitable gambling, and it's really some technical changes and some updating that needs to be done with that. And with that, I'll have Mr. Lund speak to those issues. But first, I'll talk a little bit about the gambling prohibition. And what this does is prohibits the lottery from selling e-scratch-offs, and it prohibits play at the pump and ATM games. But it still allows the lottery to use what I call drawing games, like Powerball and Go for Five. That would still be allowed online. And that is pretty much what that does. In the bill, it's Section 25 and 26 that addresses the prohibition. And then there's some enacting language at the end. Otherwise, the rest of the bill deals with the charitable gambling.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Welcome to the committee. Thank you, Senator. And just for the record, we do have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Alan Lund, Executive Director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. I'm here today to ask for your support of Senate File 229. This is the exact bill, other than the technical amendment now, that was supported by the vast majority of you last year and subsequently vetoed by the governor. All sections in the bill benefit charities. Some are long-term help, some are short-term help. But all are meant to help charities continue to do what we do in our communities and serve the people in our communities. There are clarifications, simplifications, some updating of language that are all technical in nature but have no fiscal implications at all, but important to us as a whole. We support all provisions in this bill, including Sections 25 and 26. We believe that those are important to our long-term survival as well. We believe that the Minnesota Lottery expanding into internet gaming is an expansion of gambling in Minnesota. We believe that the Minnesota Lottery is in violation of federal statute by not having received expressed authority from the legislature to conduct internet gaming. We believe that the Minnesota Lottery, is a competitor of ours. Serving in my capacity as executive director of Allied Charities, I meet with a lot of people that are involved with gambling around the state. And they like to play their pull tabs, they like to play bingo, they like to go to the casinos, and they like to buy their lottery tickets. They like all forms of those, and we support all forms of those. The Minnesota Racing Commission, at a overview 2 weeks ago now at the Commerce Committee, said that they now are going to need internet gaming, and they will be back with a bill this year. We believe that if the Minnesota Lottery is not stopped at this point, it will be difficult to say no to the Minnesota Horse Racing Association and all of that that encompasses in the state. And we don't think then that tribal gaming will basically say, well, it was a nice run, and go home. We believe that they will come out with very attractive products on the internet that will be very competitive. We will then be faced with two choices, to either go along with internet gaming or to in very short order cease to exist. What we're asking what this bill basically does is say to the lottery, this is your arena. Inside your arena, you get to act at will. If you want to expand your arena, step outside your arena, or go into someone else's arena, this is the first stop you have to make. We all know that all four groups, the racing, the tribal, the charity, the Minnesota Lottery, all have the ability to put all of our products online. So people 24/7, 365 would never need to go anywhere to gamble. We just don't think that's who we are in Minnesota and who that we want to be. We ask for your support of Senate File 229.
Thank you. Mr. Straczynski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Straczynski, and I am here today representing the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association, which has over 800 members, and we represent over 2,000 convenience stores in Minnesota. We noted that the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers are the second largest retailer of lottery and scratch-off tickets, so we know how to market the lottery inside our stores and scratch-offs. I want to thank Senator for bringing this bill forward, both bills, actually, Senate File 188, my testimony is relative to both bills, and Senate File 229. We've been opposed to play at the pump since it was rolled out with the original six test sites 3 years ago. By the way, we have never heard a report detailing the benefits or problems with play at the pump strategy that's ever come to the legislature. Usually you do a test, then you deploy the program based on success, but no such report or analysis exists to my knowledge. We've watched play at the pump roll out, and we've identified over the recent years several concerns. First of all, we concur that the lottery has never had express authority in law to either for play at the pump or certainly the online gambling scratch-offs. That's our concern. The technology still doesn't work. The technology that's available for play at the pump does not work with all operating systems in our industry. In fact, it works with a few of the operating systems, but not all of them. So it becomes a bit more problematic, and it's not available to all stores at the same time. We had a bill 3 years ago that would have provided for play at the pump if it was available to all vendors, all retailers at the same time. And at that time, the original test sites, at least, were free, and we thought that was a good idea at the time. But now I understand you charge for it. That makes sense, I guess. Financial differences in our businesses amongst the various stations creates unfair competition and could benefit larger retailers over smaller retailers like mom-and-pop stores throughout the state of Minnesota. Other concerns we have is our experience and members we've talked to, or gas station owners we've talked to, our system crashes at several test sites which resulted in substantial loss of revenues and customers for some retailers. I think some of those perhaps have been improved, but there still was problems with the technology and still is today. As it turns out, you have to understand that there are two separate lottery retailers at the play at the pump locations. The pump itself, the gasoline pump, is the lottery retailer, and that's, I think, link three. And then inside the store, you have the retailer and the owner of the store location. That's a different retailer with the state lottery system. So you've got two in the same physical location. And that's resulted in a lot of customer confusion when the station owner is trying to resolve disputes at the pump or play at the pump because he's not the retailer at the pump. We also think that it does slow down the fueling process. That's another one of our concerns. Let me put it in perspective for you, though, and talk a little bit about the economics. We met with the lottery back in, I think it was December 9th, 2014, and received the following information. The play at the pump locations at that time were 52 retailers, active retailers, and there were 16 others pending on December 9th. In fiscal year sales to date, which covered 6 months, resulted in $9,627. That was the total sales at the those locations. Now, if you understand that you have to buy these tickets in $10 strips, so you can either buy $10 or $20 or what have you, that's only 960 transactions that happened at all these locations over the past 6 months. This is the report we received from the lottery in that particular meeting. So the bottom line is, if you pass this particular legislation, you will not the revenues really, frankly, will not be missed by the state of Minnesota. One other thing, certainly we disagree with the contention that the lottery will tell you that the store sales have increased because of play at the pump installation. We think not really, because the lottery and play at the pump vendors put substantial marketing dollars into these locations where they did deploy these particular machines. And when you do that, and you're at the gas station terminal telling everybody, go inside and get free scratch-offs and get your hats, T-shirts, or whatever, we know that there's an uptick in sales at the store location just because of that particular marketing. But once that happens and once it goes away, we think that things have changed quite a bit. And therefore, the revenues certainly are not sustainable or significant. So the bottom line or the conclusion is, we want people to come inside the stores to buy lottery tickets and scratch-off tickets. We prefer that people come into our locations and buy a coffee or a candy bar. Again, we don't believe the lottery has the authority to create this stuff or online gaming. We believe that there's no benefit to station owners and that the technology problems that are there would outweigh any possible benefits long-term. This also sets up a situation, again, where big versus small stations, and we represent all of them, from the larger chains, as you can imagine, to the mom and pops throughout the state of Minnesota. And so we think this is bad for the industry in general. And finally, it should be pointed out that besides our association, which is opposed to in support of this bill and opposed to play at the pump, the National Convenience Store Association has the same concerns and is opposed to play at the pump and online scratch-offs as well for all convenience stores throughout the entire United States. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next in the agenda, we have Mr. Van Patten and Mr. Popick. You could approach. Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I do have some additional background information, so this may be a little longer than the other witnesses will. My name's Ed Van Patten. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Lottery, and very proud to head up your state agency. I want to make it very clear that it has never been my intention or the intention of lottery staff, either in perception or action, to usurp the authority of this legislature. For any confusion the past 2 years since I've been here, I sincerely apologize on behalf of myself and my staff. I regret the breakdown in our relationship with the legislature. However, you can be assured that when I came into this position, I was simply trying to carry on what we believed then and still do today was a direction and a plan that would improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our state lottery's delivery and operations and systems that had been ongoing for years before my arrival. Yes, we should have made sure the legislature was better informed and understood exactly what we were doing. While I can't undo the past, including some decisions that were made before my time, I pledge to you on the record today that the lottery will be forthcoming with any and all of our future plans. I come before you today to oppose these measures, Senate File 188 and Sections 25 and 26 of Senate File 229. These bills restrict the lottery's ability to offer electronic instant tickets on the Internet and quick-pick draw games at gas pumps and ATMs, also known as play at the pump and play at the ATM. We are also very aware that this past spring, the legislature overwhelmingly passed legislation to restrict the lottery from providing these online delivery methods for the sale of our products. And had it not been for the governor's veto, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The message and intent of the various legislative proposals is not lost on me, and at the lottery we now fully understand that in order to move forward, we have to be more upfront, transparent, and communicate better with this committee and the entire legislature. Let me also be clear that as executive director of the lottery, I, along with my team, take our constitutional mandate to run a successful lottery very seriously. To that end, last year the lottery awarded $328 million in prizes to individuals and $127 million to public programs. Lottery proceeds have supported organizations like Friends of the Mississippi River, the St. Croix River Association, the National Legal Center, the Visitor Center at Fort Snelling, the International Wolf Center, the Will Steger Foundation, Ducks and Trout Unlimited, the Minnesota Zoo, Red Lake Watershed District, the Trust for Public Land, countless research projects at the University of Minnesota, including the Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center, and state departments of agriculture, education, and natural resources. Lottery-funded projects have directly benefited every county of this state. Minnesotans are proud of their lottery has also strongly supported the environment, education, healthcare, and many other critical efforts over the past 25 years. In total, since the lottery was created by a vote of Minnesotans 25 years ago, it has contributed over $1.3 billion to the state's general fund, more than $660 million to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and more than $159 million each to the Game and Fish Fund and Natural Resources Fund. And we know we have provided a great amount of entertainment value to our players. The lottery has done this while navigating an ever-changing marketplace, hence the aforementioned initiatives that were initially shared with legislative leaders and the governor in correspondence dated April 27, 2010, from the executive director at that time, Clint Harris. Because we have been able to continue offering these services options over the past 7 months, we have new data that I would like to share with you with the chair's indulgence. Madam Chair.
Thank
this
you.
Is a packet of information provided to the committee. First slide shows a timeline of when these initiatives were enacted. You will see that subscription sales launched in November of 2010. That the research and programming for that initiative began in 2009. October of 2012, we initiated the play at the ATM machines. November of 2012, play at the pump, and in February of 2014, electronic instant tickets. So that's been a year this week. With internet subscription sales, as I said, planning began in 2009, went live in 2010. That's the next page. Intent was to allow players to purchase draw-style games such as Powerball and Mega Millions with a subscription over the internet. The system has strong age and geolocation verification checks. The limit was placed at $50 per week per player. With regard to electronic instant tickets, development began in 2010 and went live in February of 2014. The intent of this product is to increase product awareness and allow easier access to players who do not frequent traditional retail outlets. The system has very strong age and location verification checks. We kept the $50 per week limit per player in place, and how that works, for instance, if you buy $10 worth of Powerball tickets, for instance, you would have $40 remaining that could be used for electronic instance or vice versa. And the figures we pulled last week showed, I say here, only about 1%. Actually, it was 0.48% of the players who access our internet sales that actually hit their $50 cap. So that's less than one half of 1% of the players. The median age of our player is 45 years of age. The next slide, with regard to the ATM machines, that development began in 2011. The pilot program began in October of 2012. Currently, the play at the ATM is offered in 135 non-bank locations around the state. System offers Powerball and Mega Millions tickets only. No credit card purchases are allowed, only debit card. And again, strong age verification. That is done by swiping a driver's license or state identification card. Play at the pump. Development also began in 2011 and is currently offered in 58 locations around the state, 500 individual screens. And I would point out one bit of misinformation that has been thrown at you already today. The addition of the lottery to this software has never, no one has ever been charged with for that. That is provided free to the retailers. The retailers have to have upgraded software on their pumps. The chip reader technology that is coming and will be required by for everyone to have soon, I think it's in the next year. But some of the testimony seemed to indicate that people were being treated favorably by getting this free. Everybody gets the lottery aspect free. Obviously, over 70% of gas customers do not frequent convenience stores, do not go inside a convenience store. This technology is aimed at those individuals to give them the opportunity, whether it's kids in the car, it's cold outside, or just don't want to go in and stand in line. This whole transaction takes probably less than 15 seconds. And again, must use debit cards. Our research statewide shows that the facilities that have play at the pump show inside sales 8% stronger with regard to Mega Millions, 4% stronger with Powerball, 3% total lottery sales stronger than similar retailers that also have gas pumps. I would point out that we have not, the initial pilot program was with a company called Verifone. Their software failed. We did have complaints about that. Nothing regarding the lottery aspect. Since October of 2013, we launched another pilot program with a company called Gilbarco. We have not had one complaint or one error since we started that pilot in October of 2013. And as I said, now we're up to 58 locations. In addition to that, CSP Magazine, which is the largest trade publication in North America for convenience stores, has a contest every year with regard to new retailer products. Play at the Pump was voted first in new retailer products of the year nationally by CSP Magazine, and that is done by their viewer or their readership. Next slide just shows the location of Minnesota's lottery retailers. Next slide, the distribution of our major winners or winners of over $10,000. You will see that the two maps pretty much mirror one another. As I said, our goal is to create brand awareness, stay relevant in an ever-changing marketplace. Over the course of the past year, we have seen an uptick in sales and have had a positive effect on small businesses in every district around the state. We are very careful never to cannibalize sales from our traditional retail partners. We recognize that without them, the lottery would not be as successful as it has been over these past 25 years. They are our bread and butter and the most trusted way our players purchase lottery tickets. The added visibility created by these important ticket purchase options has driven additional in-store sales that support our 3,111 retail partners who employ people in all 87 Minnesota counties. Last week, we heard testimony from Roger Green of South St. Paul, who has a play at the pump at his location, and he actually reported sales increases month to month from before the program to almost 30% for his in-store sales. Our retail partners collectively earned $32 million in 2014, meaning our average retailer earned $10,000 last year for supporting their state lottery. Also, during the time that our EIT systems have been online, we have seen a significant jump in traditional scratch sales inside the retailer, up nearly $15 million just this fiscal year. That correlates to almost $1 million in commissions paid to your retailer constituency. We have offered no new forms of gaming, and as you know, we are prevented from doing so by state law. However, the new ways for players to purchase tickets have us back before you today. Like every entity offering internet options, we have a simple goal: ensure we remain relevant and can continue to provide critical funds to support the environment, land conservation, public parks, and other necessary services provided by state government. While we don't get to determine how the legislator, LCCMR, or the DNR spend the funds raised by the lottery, as a state agency, we do take our mandate to return as much as possible to Minnesota taxpayers very seriously. We are also proud the lottery is not a form of gaming that attracts individuals who act irresponsibly, as gaming can indeed be dangerous. However, these legislative proposals to restrict our online lottery programs would not stop such gambling. The restrictions would instead encourage those who play our games online to spend their dollars with readily available, illegal overseas sites that do not support the common good in Minnesota, are not regulated, do nothing to discourage, and in fact encourage irresponsible play, and pay no state taxes. As you know, the lottery is the largest contributor in Minnesota to programs that help treat and prevent problem gambling of all kinds. Further academic research on online gaming has shown gambling on the internet does not increase the chances of developing a gambling addiction. However, to ensure responsible play, we limited individuals' online purchases to $50 a week or less. In the packet is a summary, the last page in your packet, a summary of last year's calls to the state gambling hotline. As you can see, online accounts for 3% of total calls and is highly unlikely that any of these calls naming internet gaming are related to the lottery ticket sales, and we know that because we have asked. To the bill at hand, we are concerned that not only would the lottery lose the ability to focus on new and emerging markets, but that it would also have an impact to the proceeds that the lottery returns to the state in environmental and general funds. The unintended consequences of the bill would cause an impact in the amount that the lottery is able to contribute back to the state. This decrease would come not only from a loss of sales, but due to possible litigation brought on by our vendors for breach of contract. This impact could be as much as $7 million or more in this biennium. We want to avoid this situation. To that end, everyone at the lottery has been working hard since last year to make sure we are being both responsive to the legislature and to our mission of returning as much to Minnesota as possible. Last fall, we added Chris Kwapik to my left to our team with the sole purpose of working with the legislature. Chris is reachable at any time to answer your questions or address concerns, as am I. In addition, we have drafted compromise legislative language that we hope will address your concerns of further expanded gambling and would give the legislature a much larger role in the future of lottery activities. Chris and representatives from our vendors have already met with many of you and remain focused on working with Senator Coonan and anyone else that would have a voice heard on how we conduct our business. Therefore, I respectfully ask that you take into consideration our compromise proposals so that our team can continue to work towards a solution with you that will allow the lottery to continue to be a benefit to the state of Minnesota. Minnesotans support their lottery, and surveys continue to show Minnesotans appreciate knowing the proceeds benefit them. You can be assured we will continue to work with you as our partners. We want to make program improvements necessary to ensure we continue to fund important initiatives, reach players, and support our retail partners, all while remaining relevant in the ever-changing marketplace. We are also committed to making sure you are aware of all of our activities in advance. We learned our lesson and of the need to be more accountable and accessible. It has been our hope that no legislation would be moving forward until after our updated hearings, and we had a chance to fully discuss legislative alternatives with you. We believe our draft alternative is fair to our players, best for our retail partners, including the 195-plus mostly Minnesota businesses. In fact, all but one, I believe, is a Minnesota business that would be harmed if these bills before you today advance and continue to allow us to support the general fund and many other important programs and initiatives across the state. Additionally, our draft language would increase your authority over our programs. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you again for the opportunity to testify. I strongly encourage you to consider compromise legislation that is fair to all lottery stakeholders, including the 195-plus businesses that will be harmed if you move these legislative proposals forward. I look forward to working with you and to your questions. It is important to remember a better Minnesota is the lottery's biggest prize. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rampati. I presume Mr. Kwapik is available for questions?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Van Petten, you indicated that at the outset of your testimony, you brought this up. I didn't. Your concern about the perception that you more or less thumbed your nose at legislative oversight. And yet, I notice you talked about one of your programs was rolled out in February of 2014. In 3 months later, in May of 2014, this legislature voted 56-5 in the Senate and 126-2 in the House, so 182-7. For essentially the same bills that are here in substance. You tell us that you're concerned about what the legislature does, yet I'm unaware of you changing a thing. You just forged ahead. Am I wrong?
Mr. Van Patten.
Well, we have continued with the pilot, yes, sir. And as you know, the legislation was vetoed. We had the authority. We had the power. Quite honestly, our intention was to come before you as we are today and show that none of the concerns raised, especially concerns about additional gambling addiction, have held true. There has been nothing. We wanted to show that our arguments were accurate, I guess. Yes.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Van Petten. The merits of the program, that's one thing. I'm concerned about the idea of many in this committee who've been here and here listening. No, I pine for the days of Schoolhouse Rock when, you know, still I am only a bill on Capitol Hill. And legislatures actually had to pass things and governors signed them for people to go ahead and do it. You've indicated that there's a $50 limit per week on the pay at the pump programs. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
But that's not done by the legislature, is it? Tomorrow, with the approach you've taken, you could change that to $200 or $1,000 a week, couldn't you?
I think we would probably have the authority. I would not do it. I think that would be very unwise on our part. As I said, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I should address you first. Less than 0.5% of our players actually reach that $50 limit, so it would be kind of silly for us to go beyond that, in my opinion.
Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair, thank you. And Mr. Van Petten, I know you've indicated that you want to be responsive to the legislature, and yet what's happened here is a program has been implemented without legislative approval, and even if we were to assume the legal opinion upon which you rely to be accurate, which is in dispute, it became clear that the legislature was not in favor of this, and you continue to go forward, and now what is essentially being asked of us today is not that you respond to the legislature, but that the legislature that voted for bills by a total of 182-7 about 8 months ago reversed their position to accommodate you. I respectfully submit, Madam Chair and members, that it's the tail wagging the dog. And if there's ever been an example of a case where the legislature ought to assert itself and engage in legislative oversight, this is it.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. I think, Senator Thompson, I think that, you know, we've given a very strong message. We're coming back again. A member is bringing this before you, so you can vote again. So I think that the process I think that we're engaging in is a public process. It's a democratic process. We will see how the vote goes again. My sense, Senator Thompson, is that not a lot of things have changed. So I think there's a lot of integrity in the process that we're following, and we will have an opportunity. So we thank our testifiers for bringing these to our attention. I think you have brought, I don't know if it is new information, but you brought some information before us. I don't know that you can convince each other of your positions at this point, but we thank you for that information. Just a quick response,
Chair,
and then we'll move into the next testifiers.
I would like to point out that, as was discussed in great detail with the conference committee last year, we did have contracts in place. We had obligations under those contracts, or we would be in breach of those contracts. So we were in a position where we needed to go forward with those contracts as we were doing and as we have done in the past year.
Thank you. And members, I believe that that information is available to you, but the author has all of that information in case you wanted to have it available. Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair, I promise this is my last comment at this point. I don't feel better about what has been said here, because not only was action undertaken in violation of what is now clearly legislative intent, but that the agency went ahead and engaged or entered into binding contracts that made it yet more difficult to do the job we are supposed to do, and in fact solidified in contract the action that was taken. But I would then argue that that's why God made the Attorney General's office, and maybe defending those kinds of cases would have to come out of the budget of the lottery. That's what I think.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hayden.
Good. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Sometimes it's one of these deja vu moments at the legislature, because it seems like we were in a room similar to this having this very same conversation last year. And with that, Mr. Van Patten, I guess I don't understand. You spoke a little bit about compromise legislation, and maybe we'll hear that. But I actually don't always agree with Senator Thompson, but I really do today. I don't understand why you have not brought a bill forward to move this process forward. So, in other words, as opposed to taking the position of, you know, it's working, it isn't, all of your concerns are alleviated, you know, the governor vetoed your bill, so we still have the power to do what we want, and we'll be very careful and making sure that we do it the right way. How come you just didn't bring enabling legislation to say, okay, guys, we know that you have legislative oversight, so we want to bring a bill to do this? How come we haven't been presented with that?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator, we do have a bill that has been presented to this committee, I think, today. And I think it is prepared as an amendment.
I am not sure, but I think we have at least two amendments that will be presented today. Yes.
Well, so, Madam Chair.
Senator Hayden.
Mr. Van Patten, that's not the question that I asked you. I mean, yeah, any member can offer an amendment to a bill that is here, to Senator Coonan's bill. But my question to you is, how come the lottery hasn't found a member to say, hey, we heard you last year, we think that this works, here's the merits of it, here's all the great things in your long testimony that you gave us, and we want to present the committee, the legislature, with the bill in order to enable this? How come you haven't done that?
Mr. Van Pelt. Mr. Kwapik.
Madam Chair, Chris Kwapik with the Minnesota Lottery. Just to your point, Senator Hayden, this past winter, beginning in January, I have been going around. I met with you. I met with several members of this committee, also members of the House, to kind of see where the legislature still stood on this issue. I wanted to get a sense of where the legislature wanted to go when it came to oversight of the lottery. With that intent, we had started crafting language. I believe has actually been introduced as a standalone bill today, this past morning in the Senate, and I believe it's being introduced in the House as well this afternoon. So we have been trying to put together with all interested parties some language that will not only address some of the concerns by the proponents of this bill, but will also take into account the concerns expressed by the legislature about the oversight that you would have of us. And part of that compromise language that I personally feel would be of comfort to you is that going forward it would put in statute that any new delivery methods that the lottery would want to offer would have to get express authority from the legislature. So I know we understand that it's, you know, perhaps meeting you, you know, at a time that might be too late, but at the same time, that is our intent to work with you moving forward. And it's something that we feel that no matter, you know, if we're here making a promise or someone in the future of the lottery, we won't be here forever. We want to make sure that process is in place so that you have as equal of a say about what the lottery will do and how it delivers those games to our players.
And just for members' clarification, the amendments actually don't go into the issues that the senators are talking about. It kind of splits the bill, but we'll talk about it when it comes before us. Okay, members, we have two more individuals who wish to testify, and so I'm going to bring Senator Peterson. Do you have a question for the testifiers?
Yes, Madam Chair. If we're moving on, I just is the correct term director?
Yes, that's fine.
Director Van Patten, Madam Chair. I had a question actually last year on this issue, and I know there are plenty of people who claim that you don't have the statutory authority to do this, and I tend to agree. There's also an argument to be made that within Chapter 349 that you actually explicitly are in violation of the law by both being a lottery vendor and a lottery retailer simultaneously. Could you just speak to that? And I could point out the statute if you'd like. You're not allowed to both simultaneously be a lottery retailer and a lottery vendor at the same time.
So that's it.
Correct.
Madam Chair. Van Pelt, please go ahead.
To the best of my knowledge, we are not a lottery vendor. I don't know if you could clarify your question, sir.
Yeah.
So could you offer some clarification?
Well, you are brought forward the infrastructure to sell directly to consumers, and you're also selling on that infrastructure to retailers. Has there been any?
Well, Madam Chair, Senator, are you referring to the play at the pump?
And yeah.
Play at the ATM? Okay, the retailer in that situation.
Actually, I'm referring more to direct online sales.
The retailer in that situation is a company called Scientific Games International.
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair, thank you. That's what I was getting at. I think most people would probably take issue with that definition. Individuals visit directly the website. They purchase directly through a conduit that you've provided. And as far as they're concerned, they're the retailer. That'd be like claiming when you go online and use Shopify or PayPal that somehow Shopify or PayPal is the retailer, which nobody would assume. Consumers, that's not how it works. Simply because you created a web portal of sorts doesn't mean that you're not the retailer in the minds of the consumer, certainly. And every other experience in e-commerce would tell that consumer or suggest strongly to that consumer that, in fact, you are the retailer, just like PayPal isn't the retailer or Shopify or any other application that you can place on a website that facilitates the process. So if I go to the website, in other words, your website, I would imagine, Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes,
for the director. So, in other words, are these individuals going to this vendor's website to purchase the lottery tickets? I would imagine they're not.
Mr. Van Patten.
Madam Chair, Senator,
if you could put the microphone closer to you, that'd be good.
I probably should let Mr. Kwapik answer this because it's more technical than I can understand. But my understanding is it is a link from our website to the retailer's website.
Mr. Kwapik?
Madam Chair, that's my understanding as well. As far as the tech, I'm not very as familiar with the whole technical the internet protocols of it, but that's my understanding as well.
Well,
Senator Peterson,
just, I would say for the purposes of the committee that your constituents are not viewing this portal similar to PayPal or any other device that they might use to facilitate an online payment as their retailers. They view it as the lottery, and it most certainly is the lottery. They're doing the marketing and they're doing the selling of the product. And so I think not only do you not have the explicit authority, I actually think you're in violation of the statute itself. And I'll just say that for the record. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Members, any other questions from the two testifiers? If not, I am going to call Mrs. Mix and Mr. Rush.
Mix and Rushi.
That I is not, I cannot pronounce the E. I'll try. It's a hard one. 25 years trying. Please introduce yourselves for the record and for the pronunciation
Madam
of your
Chair,
last name for the chair, please.
And thank you for having me here today. I'm a volunteer board member representing Citizens Against Gambling Expansion, organization which is over 10 years old. It's a bipartisan grassroots organization of Minnesotans who oppose the expansion of gambling. CAGE believes the social and economic costs of gambling far outweigh the benefits claimed by gambling proponents. We're here today in strong support of Senator Conan's bill and what it would achieve, which we believe is greater transparency and certainly, as Senator Thompson and Senator Hayden pointed out, the need for legislative oversight over this very important expansion of gambling. Legislature did the right thing last year when it approved nearly unanimously the oversight necessary for such a major expansion of gambling. Senator Peterson raised many of the questions that we had ourselves, and it was very thrilling for me to hear them because that is what the legislature's job is, we believe. When the legislative authorizing legislation occurred 25 years ago to establish the lottery, we always believed that the lottery was going to be the board of directors, if you will, for the Minnesota State Lottery. It's very important that the lottery understand it cannot both protect the interests of Minnesotans who are using the lottery while profiting off of them without some sort of transparency and certainly legislative oversight. Furthermore, when the Minnesota Lottery was established 25 years ago, the legislature was deemed to be this oversight board of directors. This is so critical. If citizens and gamblers alike are to have faith in the system, especially with the hyper-aggressive marketing used by the lottery today, it's essential that a major expansion of gambling like this has adequate hearings, oversight, public testimony, and a fair hearing of all the issues. Frankly, internet gambling wasn't anything that anyone thought of back in the 1980s when the lottery was first established. I get in trouble every time I say this, but it was merely a glint in Senator Al Gore's eyes back then, the establishment of the internet. No one really understood the capabilities and certainly what could become of it and the abilities that would happen, especially for retail establishments getting involved with the lottery. Understand why the lottery is after this lucrative new source of gamblers can be found very quickly when you look at some of the lottery's own data about their demographics and that they're losing younger gamblers. And this is their way to get that core audience back. Why do they want those core gamblers? Because those core players represent only 10 to 15% of all players who play the lottery, but account for 80% of the sales. These are not my numbers. These are from the lottery research group that is done, it was quoted in the New York Times, the independent lottery research organization that provides data for state lotteries. Lottery asserts their authority to expand internet gambling so that they may continue selling the false dreams of prosperity based upon the illogical chance to this next generation of gamblers. However, this notion will only leave the next generation wishing they had saved rather than squandered, and our state government will be left picking up the pieces, all because a lottery hyper-aggressively sought to override what is legitimately your concern. Senator Hayden, thank you very much for bringing up the need for public testimony. That is critical in something like this, especially what we believe is very predatory advertising that preys upon get-rich schemes. And Senator Thompson, thank you very much for asserting the necessary legal authority that our legislature and our state government has over this. I urge the committee to support Senator Conan's bill, and we're very thankful that you have this hearing and that you're taking on this issue so early in the session. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rush?
Madam Chairman, I'm Brian Rushy with the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition, and here also to support Senator Coonan's bill, specifically Senate File 188. I just want to point out that in 1988, when voters approved the state lottery, we started with a constitutional provision that banned lotteries. I think it's Section 13, Article 5. It's just an outright plain ban on lotteries. And what voters did in 1988 is they created an exception and said that they wanted to authorize a state lottery where the state would operate a lottery and sell tickets. And that was kind of the language. As we look at it now, maybe it feels a little archaic, but the idea was to sell tickets. And it was an exception to a broad ban. And I just feel like any time we begin to expand an exception to a constitutional provision, we better do that very carefully and with a lot of scrutiny and a lot of oversight. And I don't, as Annette said, I just don't think voters back then even imagined that we would have a situation where the lottery would begin to market its products at ATM machines, at gas pumps. This becomes effectively a lottery terminal. We all have these. And our concern is that this is a major expansion of gambling, and that's kind of where JRLC is at. We've kind of been temperate and sort of tolerant, but this is an overreach. We are seeing gambling becoming its own justification. We should be able to do this so that we can keep pace, so that we're still relevant. Gambling is its own justification. Rather than the public purpose of raising money for the natural resources. And at the time in 88, I think it was economic development for greater Minnesota, if I remember the campaign slogans. But be that as it may, it's a lousy public financing tool. It extracts wealth and income from those who can least afford to pay it. It's inefficient. And it also sends messages to our public that the best way to get ahead in life is to take a ridiculously small chance and to believe in that. Over the years, I want to compliment the Minnesota Lottery for showing some forbearance in its advertising campaign. It has stressed more the positive messages of support the environment and all that, but it seems like the gloves are off. And I think the public does need to weigh in a little bit more about whether this is really serving a public purpose. Expansion on the Internet increases the rapidity of play. I have concerns about that in terms of contributing to its addictive nature. We have enough gambling. We don't need more. And that's JRLC's position. I do have a letter for the committee that expounds our thoughts a little bit more deeply, but I'll quit there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Can I get a, you could give the letter to one of our staff, maybe if you could pass it around.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, the gentleman and Ms. Meeks. So I oppose the expansion and support Senator Coonan's bill, mostly because I think it's just a violation of their authority. They don't have the statutory authority to do it, and so I think it's illegal. However, Director Van Patten pointed out something that's true, which is there's no such thing as the Minnesota Internet, right? So that means that if you're in Panama or Grand Cayman or wherever a lot of these places come from, they can sell unregulated access to as many games of chance as they want. And they can buy digital advertising that's very specific nowadays. In fact, I could, through demographics, and I could curate an audience as fine as I want to by purchasing direct advertisement in an unregulated fashion. So what would you say to Director Van Patten's assertion, which I think has some merit, quite frankly, which is that, you know, there's a lot worse people to be selling these games of chance to the public than his organization, which I think he's demonstrated. You know, there's a lot of restraint that they've demonstrated with, I think, which is misinterpretation of his authority, but nonetheless, he's demonstrated a fair amount of restraint in how they went about doing that. So what would you say to that? You can't stop these people from acting. So are you fighting sort of a losing battle? I mean, what impact are you going to have by restricting the lottery from engaging in this?
Madam Chairwoman, I'll take a crack at that. I mean, there's mischief aplenty on the Internet, whether that be borrowing money or getting herbal remedies for this or that or opportunities to gamble. The distinction here is that the state of Minnesota, through a state agency, would be marketing and encouraging people to play on the Internet. I just think that's wrong. I think all of us have become, you know, wary, and maybe more of us should be more wary of all the dangers that are out there. But the state of Minnesota would be, I think, putting its imprimatur on a gambling site. It may even be the case that with problem gamblers who are probably not just doing Internet gambling, they're probably doing casino and charitable gambling, racetrack, whatever, all the forms that we have here, would be encouraged to just do more. The data on how few gamblers supply most of the gambling revenue is pretty striking. And just to put one more encouragement out there, I think, is bad public policy.
Thank you. I think we have Mr. Brian Rice wanted to offer some testimony as well. I don't have anybody else, so we can move into. Mr. Rice, welcome to the committee.
Madam Chairman, my name is Brian Rice. I'm an attorney in Minneapolis, and I'm here today representing Link 3. Link 3 is a software development company that has worked for a number of years to develop the Play at the Pump and ATM software application with the lottery. And the company to date has invested over $7 million in the startup of this product. Mr. Van Patten offered some very important testimony. When Governor Pawlenty was governor, the lottery director worked with his administration to investigate modernizing the lottery, if you will. They secured a legal opinion from their counsel, brought it forth to the administration, and then reached out for vendors to help the lottery become relevant in the Internet world. And Link 3 entered into a contract with the lottery in November of 2011 to begin developing this application for Play at the Pump. And research had showed that 73% of people who go to convenience stores with gas pumps did not go into the store. Rather, they just stayed out and fueled at the pump. And this has been an area where convenience store operators have looked to find, how do you get these people inside the store? How do you use those pumps to find other ways to produce revenue? Well, Link 3 worked on that, invested substantial dollars. Minnesota was the first, because this lottery has been in existence now for 25 years, and it's had the reputation of being very innovative, very nimble, very forward-looking, and Link 3 has worked with the lottery since then. Mr. Straczynski gave some testimony, parts of which were true, many parts of which are also outdated. After entering into that contract, there was a demonstration program to see if the system would work. It was challenged. That was in 2012. Since then, the technology has improved vastly, as Mr. Van Patten said, since October 13. There haven't been any complaints of the nature that Mr. Straczynski is saying. In fact, Mr. Straczynski's testimony also would indicate that somehow this is a big person's operation. In fact, the 58 stores that are up and running now are basically all sole proprietorships of one station. There's one group in St. Cloud area that has six, but by and large, these are mom-and-pop stations. In your packet, you'll see a letter from the Minnesota State Service Association, which represents 2,000 people. They're very supportive of the Minnesota Service Stations and Convenience Store Associations. They're very supportive of this application. They found it's a way for the store owners to enhance their revenues, to make it's more convenient for their customers. It adds revenues to their operations. I just think the record should be clear on that, that it's successful. It's worked in this state. Minnesota is the first state. It's now being used in Missouri. Late last year, it went live in California, and it's going to be applied in North Carolina and Georgia. And to your question, Senator Peterson, I've looked at the statute, 349A, and, you know, lottery passed in constitutional amendment in 88, the next session they enacted a law. It gave pretty broad authority to the lottery director to do things. The statute has not changed much in those 25 years, and quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot of oversight by this legislature of the lottery, in part because it's worked well, I believe. It's about 25 cents on every dollar that gets spent in the lottery comes back to the state. Mr. Rush is right. Senator Thompson is right. Not many people win the big prize. The state's done well in its collection method. As I say, about 25 cents on the dollar in the lottery comes back to the state's general fund or one of the environmental funds. That's much more than charitable gaming, where it's about 4 cents on every dollar comes back in taxes, or 4 cents on every dollar also goes to charity. They have a lot of other expenses, of course, that they need to deal with. But to my point, Mr. Szczesinski would say this is a big versus small operation. That's not true. This application isn't at Holiday. It's not at Super America. It's not at Costco or the bigger stores. Our concern from Link 3 is that at the time we entered into a contract with the lottery represented that they did have the authority. Lawyers from Link 3 at the time looked at it. Senator Peterson's looking at the statute, you'll notice there's a section towards the end, Senator Peterson, about restrictions on the lottery. There's only two restrictions, I believe. I don't have the statute in front of me. But those restrictions that the legislature put on the lottery were very few. There's a principle in law about if you state there's a restriction, you would need to spell out all those restrictions. It's unicio expressio exclusio. And at least in deference to Senator Peterson, as we looked at that statute, there aren't those restrictions. Now, maybe there should be. That's certainly a policy question for the legislature to adopt. You may want to do that as a matter of policy. You've heard a lot of testimony about addiction, although I think as I've looked at this issue, the lottery is probably the least addictive form of gaming. You know, there's the instant winner, which could feed the cycle where people, you know, they keep putting money in a slot machine and they keep wanting to win. But the lottery, generally, there's Wednesday and Saturday. There are some instant games. I don't think you're going to find people getting addicted to gas pumps. In order to buy a lottery ticket at the gas pump, you have to actually buy gas.
Okay. I'm gonna stop you, Mr. Rice, on this one. We get your point. So members, you know, you're invited to add some restrictions if you care to do so. Apparently, the legislation is not clear. So hopefully, you know, that will be something that we can take a look into. And also, I think Mr. Rice makes a clear point that actually strengthens the conversation here with respect to the fact that these companies are becoming more efficient, so the oversight that members are looking for seems to be right on track with what we need to do. So thank you for that. Senator Pappas and Senator Thompson. I don't think Senator Peterson had a question. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This isn't for Mr. Rice. If okay. anyone has a question for Mr. Rice, I...
Senator Thompson, do you have a question for
yes,
Mr.
Madam
Rice?
Chair, please, and Mr. Rice, I would simply point out, I just want to address that one point you made that if things were to change now, it would, you know, potentially cost your client money and you know, money was invested and all of that. I don't think anybody at this table doubts that. I certainly have respect for people who invest money in businesses, but I would also point out that in the contract signed with the lottery in paragraph 10.2, under termination of agreement, either party may terminate this agreement upon written notice to the other party if, and then there's a number of things laid out, letter F is required by any law. So I think the parties, in doing their risk calculus, took into consideration that this day may come, or I suppose that theoretically they were in violation of some law at the time they executed the agreement. So not denying there might be a loss to your company, but I think you'd have to concede that this is a day that your company acknowledged might come.
Madam Chair, we
briefly,
Senator Thompson, I think we might disagree with that, but I appreciate your point. I do want my point would be simply this, that the lottery has, in good faith, and our company has entered into a contract with the state of Minnesota in good faith, believing that we can do this. In fact, I think the law did permit it. And besides, there is a provision in the state constitution about not passing laws to impair contract, and that may be an issue that has to we hope at least the legislature would consider that as you move forward or not with this legislation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rice. I think Senator Coonan is aware of some of these issues, and he's been working with multiple attorneys that will offer some counsel as to how do we proceed with that. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Coonan, I think you stated that this is the same bill that was vetoed by the governor last year.
Yes, exactly.
Except for the technical amendment.
Exactly,
right.
Yes.
Madam Chair, Senator Coonan, has the governor changed his mind? Do you have any assurances from him he won't veto it this time?
Senator Coonan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And no, we don't know what the governor is going to do, but I believe, and since this is true, that the legislature can do what the legislature is going to do, and the governor will do what the governor is going to do. And it's pretty clear when you look at the vote tallies from last year, from both third reading and from the conference report, it's pretty clear how the Senate felt about this. So that's a big reason why we're moving forward this year.
Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I guess I think it would be a lot cleaner for us if we could separate the two issues and be able to send the charitable gambling bill out clean, because I have a concern that I wouldn't want that vetoed again. And if we I have the A1 amendment, which would take out, if we could pass that out, Madam Chair, which would take out the sections related to the lottery, but those sections are in Senate File 188. So we'd be able to debate and discuss and vote on two separate bills, 229, which would be the charitable gambling bill, send that out as a clean bill, and then we would have 188 before us, which is the restrictions on the lottery. So I apologize I didn't get a chance to talk to you about that, Senator Coonan, but that's what the A1 amendment would do.
So members, Senator Pappas is offering the A1 amendment, which will, as she explained, separate the two provisions. Senator Coonan?
Madam Chair, thank you. And I'm not a member of this committee, but as author of this bill, I'm going to ask you to not adopt this amendment. Again, I think the message was pretty clear last year on how this body felt about this bill, Madam Chair, so thank you.
Just, Madam Chair, one final word. I think that the committee would have a chance to reaffirm its position on Senate File 188. But again, I've always tried to keep the charitable, when I was chair of this committee and other chairs had tried to keep the charitable gambling bill clean and not mix it up with other gambling issues. And I know that Mr. Lund says he does support restrictions on the lottery, but my concern more is for his members and all the charities throughout the state. I would hate to get them, have them held up again over a controversy regarding the lottery, because I don't believe that the rest of the bill is controversial at all, and we should be able to pass that on the floor quite easily. They're already a year behind in terms of these provisions that they wanted to implement. So I would urge members to support the A1 amendment, and then, Senator Coonan, you still have your Senate File 188.
So are members clear on Senator Pappas's amendment? Any questions? Senator Scalzi?
Yes, just that I think there is a charitable gambling bill, another one traveling, so I'm not sure if this is our only chance to pass a charitable gambling bill. Are you aware of, I mean, are you thinking that this is our only chance? Is that what you're saying?
Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I believe they will have another bill. The agency that regulates charitable gambling that I think you're carrying, that is a technical correction bill. And I believe Mr. Lund told me that they will have another bill later on. But these are provisions that could get passed very quickly that were supposed to be passed last year. And it just seems to me we should let them continue with this. And we could take it up on the floor and get it done very quickly.
Thank you. Any other questions for Senator Pappas? If not, we are going to vote on the A1 amendment. So those in favor of the A1 amendment? So Senator Pappas moves the A1 amendment. All of those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. So we are back to Senate File 229. Any questions? Members, I want you to move it on Senator Coonan's behalf, if I have a member. Senator Thompson moves the Senate File 229. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As amended. It was not amended. It's not amended. Sorry. Those opposed say no?
No.
No.
The bill has passed. Thank you, Senator Coonan.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
On the Senate File 229 now goes to Finance, Senator Coonan. I'm sorry, it was amended. I'm sorry that the previous amendment did not pass, but the author's amendment was adopted on the technical date, so I'm going to make sure that I move that motion for Senate File 229 as amended. You don't have to take a vote again, but I just wanted to clarify because there was a previous author amendment that I forgot. Thank you. Senator Coonan, you have another bill. We have about 10 minutes, so you have the same testifiers, and I would like to call them if they have a kind of an additional message, anything that you didn't say, or if you just could briefly share your remarks, but they are basically the same individuals who came to testify on the previous bill. So if you wish to add additional testimony or anything that is different for this bill, please approach the table. Senator Coonan, if you could please go ahead and present your bill.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And this bill is really the prohibition, which was Section 25 and 26 of the previous bill. It's pretty much that language. I do have another author's amendment that addresses the 130 days again.
Thank you. We'll pass that amendment, Senator. So this is a technical amendment to put the bill in the shape that the author wishes to put the bill into. I need a member to please move that amendment on his behalf.
So moved.
Senator Thompson moves the A2 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The A2 amendment is adopted. Senator Coonan.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And again, as I mentioned earlier, this is this bill that you have in front of you, Senate File 188, is pretty much Section 25 and 26 from the previous bill. So unless you have any further questions or comments, that is the bill then.
Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I have the A1 amendment.
Senator Pappas has the A1 amendment. If you could please pass the A1 amendment. Thank you. Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, this is what Mr. Van Petten alluded to as the compromise proposal. And I think there's also another bill that was introduced. And again, Senator Coonan, I'm sorry this is coming at you. And this would put it, as Mr. Rice talked about, put in specific restrictions in the lobby to kind of draw the line in the sand, that making it very clear that the lottery cannot do any casino-style games and cannot have any new delivery methods for selling a lottery game unless authorized by the legislature. And this would not involve violating any existing contracts. It would not mean that any of the existing resources that have been going into all these wonderful programs that we all love so much would be affected. But it does recognize the reality of the world that we live in. So, Madam Chair, I'd move the A1 amendment. And hope I'll do better than the last one.
Senator Coonan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members. And again, I'm just seeing the amendment now, but it looks like it's authorizing the lottery to do what it's head down the path it's heading down now.
Oh, Madam Chair, these are restrictions.
Oh, okay.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Senator Pappas and Madam Chair. Again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. This prohibition was added to the Senate floor to the charitable gambling bill on the floor last year and passed overwhelmingly. I think that with the makeup of the Senate, which is pretty much the same as it was last year, that I would like to see this amendment not adopted, and then we just move forward with the bill, Madam Chair and members.
Senator Thompson?
Madam Chair, I don't see how this could really be interpreted as a restriction. It says that this chapter does not authorize, and then there's this list of things in four, but it doesn't say it prohibits them. I don't know that this really clarifies or helps anything.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas?
Senator Thompson, it's the same thing. When it says it's not authorizing, it means it prohibits. That's the intention of the bill. It's just legislative language. We can ask Ms. James the question if you'd like.
I'm into English.
Any other questions, members? So I think that we're ready to move the A1 amendment. So Senator Pappas moves the A1 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No. No.
The amendment is not adopted. Sorry, Senator. Okay, Senator, we are back to Senate File 188. Anybody in the audience who wishes to add remarks or tell us something they didn't have a chance to say before? If not, members, I need to move the bill. If some of the member could move the bill for me.
So moved.
Senator Hayden moves Senate File 188 to be recommended to pass as amended. I remember this time. And be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Bill passes. Thank you, Senator Coonan. excuse me, members. I think this concludes our meeting. I believe we have posted the agenda for our next meeting. Thank you so much for helping us end this meeting on time. So we will adjourn for today.